This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
We're starting a brand new series today. It's for us, it's sort of the changing of a season, although we're not officially there yet, but you know, August is soon here. School will be starting soon. You know, we're already beginning to think that way. And as we're heading into this new season, I wanted to launch this new series. We call it Passages, and I'm super excited about it. And anytime that there is a seasonal change, there's growth involved. There are a little bit of uncomfortableness because you've got this new season. I've got a daughter who's going to be 13 this fall, and she's heading into junior high. So, you know, that leap from elementary school to junior high is a big jump. So there's a transition there for her. And transitions can be a little scary, but they're exciting. And I'm excited about the transitions and the changes that are happening here at Restoration. Anytime that there's going to be a transition, there are typically signs of something that's on the move, right? There are indicators. When the seasons begin to change, we get signs of that. You begin to feel the temperature change. You begin to see the colors of the leaves. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on here in the next several weeks. If you want to grab your notes inside of your worship guide, they look like this. You might want to write a few things down this morning. Grab that. There's also inside there a sign-up sheet. We call it the mega, mega, mega sign-up sheet. And it has several things on it, including today. Well, I just got done. That's why I'm a little late. We were upstairs with some of the folks that are visiting our church, new to Restoration, getting to know them and let them get to know us a little bit. So that one you can kind of forget for today. Although if you'd like to pop up there after this service, you're welcome to do so if you're new, meet some of the team. There's the men's retreat, this rite of passage ceremony. It's something I'm going to talk about today. There's a new small group for gals that's starting Mondays in August. And then, of course, our big push for those who want to be connected to Restoration. The first step is to get connected to what we call as a family. Family is those who serve you, who come to church on Sunday mornings in various ways. We are a church that is involved not just to sit and spectate, but to get connected and participate in the vision. That's a transition too, right? You go from being somebody who just comes to church and sits and listens to someone who's connected and involved. And that takes you to a new level, but it takes stepping out of the comfort zone, right? It's a step beyond the norm. So we appreciate those who are bold enough to make that move. And today we're going to talk about what's required in those kinds of changes. I think change is healthy. I've never been afraid of change. You know, I don't like change for the sake of change, but I always am not afraid to say, you know, if it's broke, let's fix it. And people say, well, it's not broke. Well, you know, but something that stays static, there's a principle of life that things that are living, things that grow are going to change naturally. Things that don't grow or change, we call them dead, right? The only time you'll stop growing or changing is when you're dead. I know for me, as I've grown, things begin to change. Things that I necessarily don't like to see the changes. I look at myself in pictures. I saw some vacation photos from the back. I'm like, whose head is that? Don't recognize the back of that head anymore. There's more skin than hair. I don't understand that. Even our bodies, right, they grow and change, and nothing stays static. I did some research. This is kind of interesting. You know, you can believe everything you read on the internet, right? So I know this has got to be true. But this is a medical website, so I'm hoping that it's true. It says, talk about changes. It says your outer layer of skin, the epidermis, not the thicker dermis beneath, but the outer layer replaces itself every 35 days. Isn't that crazy? That's how many skin cells you lose, which is why all those bed bugs love to feed in your sheets, right? All those tasty little skin cells. Replaces itself every 35 days. You are given a new liver every 6 weeks.
Isn't that crazy? The human liver can regenerate even if only 25% remains. Timmy, you can back me up on this to see if I'm right. Stomach lining replaces itself every 4 days. And the actual stomach cells that contact the digestive juices and things like that, every 5 minutes, those are replenished. Just crazy stuff. Our entire skeletal structure regenerates every 3 months. And you get a new brain every 2 months. I am so glad to hear that. I'll take that. I just don't know what's wrong. It's like they must be passing on the old habits. It must be what's happening. Every human body, right down to the last atom, is replaced every 5 to 7 years. It's crazy how God designed us. We're constantly in a state of transition. Growing things change. So I've never been afraid of change. I've never been afraid to try something new. I told the Lord when I was 19, I said, Lord, I will go and do whatever you say you want me to do. I'll even do the things other people are unwilling to do. And by golly, you pray that kind of prayer and he'll take you up on it, you know? And so here we are in this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joe. And I love it. I love to be a part of something that's seeing growth and change. But transition is required if we're going to be used by God in that way. The natural transition and growth and change I just mentioned about the human body really speaks of the spiritual. That we are constantly in a state of growth and change. If you'll turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to talk about how God uses this principle in our lives. Our lives are constantly being transformed. We're constantly being changed, renewed. We shouldn't be the same person today that we were yesterday. Not if we're growing, not if we're being changed. And this transition can sometimes be difficult, even painful. But I would say it's necessary. And there's not a person here in the room, including myself, that could say, I don't need to change. I don't need to grow. I've arrived. I'm there. If you reach that state, even though you might physically be alive, I would just tell you that you're really dead. If you don't recognize your need for continual growth and change. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote this about change. I'm going to start in verse 7. We're really where I want to get to is later, but I felt like I needed to get a running start here for you. So here we go. The old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is this new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Verse 12, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. Verse 16 is really where I wanted to get to. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for truth. Thank you for truth that your word says sets us free, that there is freedom in you today. God, I ask that you would take the veil from our eyes, that you would open our understanding. Lord, our hearts today, may they be fertile soil for you to plant the seed of the word. Father, some here that have walked with you for a long time, just let that word be like a water to refresh and to cause growth. For those of us, Lord, who are just beginning a relationship or haven't yet taken that step, I pray that today, God, that Holy Spirit, you would reveal Jesus to us, because that is who we seek. That is what life is all about. Thank you that today you're going to make us different on the inside than we were when we walked in here this morning, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of that stuff early on there in that passage, you know, a little confusing. You know, the old way. He's talking about the old covenant, the way that the people related to God before Jesus came. Man, Jesus came, changed everything. How many of you realize that was a huge transition? That was a massive change. It ruffled some feathers. Uh-huh. I mean, people were so locked into the old way, that's the only thing they could see. So when Jesus came along and basically upset the apple cart, literally turning over tables, right? I mean, really making a mess of things. That's what transition and change looks and feels like. It looks and feels like a mess. And yet, you know, how many of you know God is the Lord of the mess? You know, no matter how messy things look, he can still see the good in it. And in fact, the scripture says he works all things together for good. So I don't know that I could go so far as to say God authors all the change, but I would say he can use all the change. Sometimes the change is a result of our stupid decisions, right? Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Other times God initiates that change. And it's still uncomfortable and painful, and yet it's the plan and work of God. So it's important to kind of take a deep breath when you're feeling a little unsettled and not quite sure what's going on. This passages series, I want to highlight some of the changes we experience, why they're necessary, how they happen, and to encourage us to embrace what God is doing in the season that we're in now, so that we can move on to the next season, to the next change, the passage toward what he has in store for us. Certainly our church has gone through this kind of transition. Those of you who are new, our history, you know, we're a little tiny baby church. We were just born 2 years ago, so we can't even walk yet, right? We're still being carried around and learning all this stuff, but we're growing. And it's been a transition. It's been challenge, uncomfortable, or at least today we have air conditioning, right, on this hot, humid day. That's a good change. But it came through difficulty, came through a lot of sweat and a lot of sacrifice. And yet we love what we see God doing. Tonight at 6:00, we're going to discuss the state of things today, where we're at through our change. We call it an owner's meeting. Owners are our word for people who are members of Restoration. In fact, we have a new members training coming up August the 30th. I think I've got the date right on that. That should be a Sunday. We'll do it during first service, just like our new visitors brunch that's happening right now. So if you'd like to get involved in that, you can just let us know via that sign-up sheet that I told you about a minute ago. Then after that meeting tonight, we'll go into our bi-monthly night of worship and prayer. Twice a month we get together just to seek God. We know that God is the author of change, and we want to make sure we're on his timetable, right? We don't want to be ahead of him. We don't want to be behind him, but we desperately need him to guide us through our times of change. And also, you know, what's on my heart tonight is our city. When I was away in Colorado, really felt just really impressed that we need to, as a church, really lift our city to the Lord. You know, there are some things happening I just don't like. I don't like to see the headlines that I'm reading about the violence in our city. That's not God's plan for St. Joe, you know. So we're going to pray about that and see, ask him to intervene. And that's why we're here. Man, you know, when things are tough, that's why God, I won't say he's desperate, but he desires a strong church to be right in the middle of that and to be the difference maker. So tonight, if you can come back, love to have you at 6:00. At the core of this series, this passages series, is the rite of passage ceremony. It's the training that I received through a gentleman named Dr. Chuck Stecker. I met Chuck. He was a Promise Keeper guy back in the 90s. We got connected when I started working with men's ministry circles through my time at Focus on the Family. We actually are shirt-tail relation. My sister-in-law is his cousin, so whatever that makes us, I don't know. But he's a great guy. Some of you have heard Chuck speak before. He was had been to our church on Riverside, and he is a dynamo. He is an Army Ranger captain, so you can imagine. He's about 7 foot tall, right? Not really, but that's what he looks to me. And just a bulldozer of a man. And God has used him in remarkable ways. He taught me this rite of passage. I guess I'm going to call it a culture. It's a culture that churches can embrace. And I would say it's one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in the local church. When churches grasp the concept that one of our responsibilities is to help the next generation, sons and daughters, come into their godly manhood and womanhood, because we've not been doing a good job. We've been leaving it up to the culture, and they're not doing a good job either. So our sons and daughters are sort of adrift in a cultural, you know, sludge. And we want the church to be dry, high ground to get their bearings and launch them. Now, it's not all about the next generation, though. It's about us together. That's the secret sauce. It's not just about highlighting the younger generation. It's about how we, as a congregation, as a family, can come alongside and help the next generation discover their purpose. And I just feel that it's one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. On August the 16th, that's a Sunday morning, we'll be conducting the actual rite of passage ceremony. This has become a part of the life cycle of our church. Since our departure from Riverside and our move downtown, we've not gotten in that rhythm back, and we're doing it now. Okay, so this coming August 16th, don't miss that Sunday if you can help it. The rite of passage ceremony is itself primarily for young adults age 13 or older. And we do that because we feel like once a person reaches 13, their body, you know, has changed to a point, the transition, right, happened to a point where now that body's able to reproduce life. So that young person is an adult. Mom and dad, deal with it. You got an adult on your hands. What do we do with that? How do we handle that? See, that's where we as a church, I think society as a whole, has really failed our young adult culture. I've taught this all over the country. I've been in many different situations, and it's I feel the pushback every time I say that, right? Because I've got a 12-year-old daughter who will soon be 13, and it's hard for me to see her developing and changing and becoming a young woman. I want her to be a little girl forever, okay? But that would not be healthy, would it? And that's exactly why transition is necessary. That's why change is a part of life. And so let's celebrate it. Let's do it a godly way. Let's recognize it. Let's champion that. Let's give the advice. Let's give the direction, the encouragement, the coming alongside of our sons and daughters to help them transition well. I've seen men in their 70s come forward during a rite of passage to receive their father's blessing. And I'm telling you, it tears me up. That's one of the pieces of the rite of passage ceremony, is our young adults receiving a father's blessing. I don't know about you, but I'd never heard of that until I met Dr. Stecker and then witnessed these men. Some of these guys, you got to realize they'd never had that done for them. They'd never received a father's blessing, where their father and mother, ideally, together pray and release, impart a blessing to their children to be the men and women that God created them to be. I'm telling you, we see chains of rebellion just fall away. And then they come off the sons and daughters. It starts with mom and dad. Because it's never happened to us. You can't give away something you've never received. So we always begin by offering that to us older people. So there's no one here in this room that is exempt from participating in receiving the Father's blessing. So that's what's happening August 16th. Powerful, powerful time. We're going to have to go to Sam's and buy cases of Kleenex. I'm just telling you, because it is amazing. I just, you know, I can't say it strongly enough. It's the most powerful thing I've ever seen happen in the local church. When we do what God says to do and raise up sons and daughters and release them to be the men and women they were created to be. That's a good transition. We want that. And we can make that intentionally happen as we participate with God's plan. For me, you know, passages in my own life, having been raised without a dad, sometimes you stumble into them, you know. Other times you think what's happening is a bad thing, and in reality, God is like, no, this is me growing you up. I was on staff of that church that I left broadcasting for, and I was about 3 years in, and it was not going well. You know, it just was not clicking, and I didn't know what to do, and it was painful. And I led a mission trip to Northern Ireland, and it was my chance to kind of get out of the pressure cooker for a while and just get away and seek God. I was walking on the North Irish Sea coast and just bawling, literally. And I just felt like I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to my heart. He said, hey, how about we cancel a pity party? How'd that be? Why don't you tear up the invitations and send everybody home? Because this isn't about everybody else and how bad they're treating you. This is about me working in your life. Anybody have been there where you just feel like it's all going wrong? You know, everybody, the whole world's against you. That's how you feel. And the Lord led me to this verse in John 12:24. It's become one of my life verses. Jesus says, truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. See, that's a transition, right? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, another version says it remains alone. See, growing up without a dad, I knew alone. I was alone my whole life. I was raised in a dysfunctional family where I didn't ever one time hear the words, I love you, ever. Krista Doyle was the first person to ever say that to me. So it was all new to me, you know. And in this season of my life where I felt rejection and pain and why don't people like me and what did I do? And I was trying to just turn tricks to see, how can I make you people happy? And I realized that I couldn't. So that's when I stopped trying to do that. So today I'm not that guy anymore. I mean, I want you to like me, but if you don't, you're lost. You know, it's like I've got to be who God created me to be. But that was worked in me by this transition that the Lord took me through. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. See, I had to die to that need for people's approval. I had to die to that. Or I would remain alone. See, there's some things today that God might be calling you to die to. Some things you've held on to that, well, this is just a part of me and this is who I am and blah, blah, blah. And this is the way I've always done it, or this is the way my grandma taught me, or I'm afraid to let go. What other people might say. You know, it all comes from insecurity. And the Lord said, let that thing fall to the ground and die, lest you remain alone. But if I embrace what God is doing, if I participate in the transition, then it says, if it dies, that's not the end of the story, is it? It produces many seeds. Another translation says, it produces a harvest. Man, I want a harvest. How about you? Anybody here want a harvest? I want to see fruit in my life. I want to see that thing grow and expand and other people be able to receive and be blessed by what happens in me. If I hadn't had that transition, I don't think I'd be in ministry today. I think I would have said, I could use a bad word right now. Forget the church. I'm done. I've been chewed up, spit out. Have fun with that. That's how I felt. But instead, I felt the Lord say, Tim, if you will embrace this, if you won't stay in your pity party, and you'll realize that this isn't about everybody else and how they're treating and how wrong they are. This is about me trying to make you into the man of God I've created you to be. If you will embrace this, if you will fall to the ground and die, I can produce a harvest through this in you. And I came back from that trip and I was a new guy. I was. People said to me, boy, you look, I was a worship leader at the time. Like, you seem so much more relaxed. You're smiling more. You're so much more comfortable. on the platform than you used to be. Well, it's because I was so nervous trying to make everybody happy before. And I said, yeah, I do feel different. You know, I feel changed. 2 months later, I was fired from that job. You see, though, if I hadn't gone through the transition, how that would have devastated me, and I probably would have been disqualified because I'd have been so bitter and angry at the church. As it is, I love what I'm doing today. Absolutely love it. Not that it's easy all the time, but I'm where I'm supposed to be because I allowed the transition to happen. I didn't resist. I embraced the change. I fell to the ground and died. I've always said that I'm going to create a new bumper sticker. Death is required. I think it's the goth, the new goth thing that's going to catch on really, really, really well. The only thing in life that doesn't change is death and taxes, right? Well, I you know, people say that. I think there's something more right that I could say to you this morning that I would have you write down in your notes. The only thing in life that doesn't change is God and His Word. Taxes change. The rates go up every year, right? The only thing in life that doesn't change is God and His Word. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So my advice to you today is anchor your life in God and in His Word, and you don't have to fear the changes. I don't care what change comes your way. It could seem horrible. You've been so mistreated, other people have just done you wrong. Anchor your life in God and His Word, and you won't have to fear the changes. You're going to be just fine. During this series, we're going to break down the mechanics of life passages into three categories. I'll have you write these down. These will be sort of the guideposts for our journey the next few weeks. The first thing I'll talk about is the preparation of passages, preparation. Second word is the process of passages. And the third thing is the progress that we achieve, that we gain through passages. So preparation, process, and progress. And I'll be attempting to do something I've not done before with this teaching. I'm kind of going off road here, okay? Because I don't want this to just be about what I say to the next generation, because they're going to be the focus of what we do on August 16th. I'm going to address this topic of passages on two different levels. I've already done it today. I'm going to apply it to the next generation, but I really want it to be church-wide because it applies to us individually, the transitions and changes we go through. It also applies corporately. We're going to be going through some corporate transitions and changes. How many of you saw The Wall gone? That was a great surprise when I came in this morning and saw that. Appreciate Don and Jerry for taking care of that. Because I really want you to see where we're going now, right? With the wall down. That's a transition that's going to be, I'm not going to prophesy that. I'm not going to say it's going to be painful and challenging. Not going to be easy. How about that? You know, we've got to push to the next season for our church. We'll talk about that tonight a little bit. But I wanted you to see, at least wanted you to have a glimpse, a vision into the next season, because I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome to see how God works in this next season. But for those of you, especially with young adults, that age category, 13 to, let's say, college age, you might have some questions about what this is all about. And I want to give you firsthand knowledge of what exactly we're doing if you've never seen it, or you just need some ammo for your belt as we walk forward into this, because it could be a little intimidating. We're having a parent meeting. This will be next Sunday, August the 2nd, between services. So at 10:15, I'll be upstairs in the conference room. If you would like to know specifically what's going to happen and how you as a parent or a grandparent or an aunt and uncle, we know we have young men and women who oftentimes don't have biological parents who attend church. So, you know, if you know someone that's in that category, you want to get more ammo, because there are some ways you can begin preparing for August 16th. This can be a multi-level impact event. Inviting people who would come to see a son or daughter graduate, if you will. It's sort of the Christian bar mitzvah is what we're going to do on the 16th. Or the Caucasian quinceañera, right? For the Hispanic culture. It's similar. We have nothing like that in our culture. You know, nothing. The Jewish culture has it figured out. The Hispanic culture has it figured out. We kind of just dumb our way through it, right? So we're going to change that. So anyway, next Sunday, August the 2nd, 10:15 upstairs, I'll be there to answer any questions that you have. If you are a student, a young person between the ages 13 and college age, and you want to participate, I'm going to give you a real strong challenge right now. I'm going to ask you to be present every Sunday between now and August the 16th. If you want to participate in the ceremony, I'm going to make this a requirement that you be here. Now, looking around the room, I don't really see anybody that fits that category. So we're all adults here today, and I still want you here, all right? Because if I'm going to put that requirement out for my young adults, then I certainly am going to say, if I make it optional for the rest of us, what kind of a message does that send to these young sons and daughters? And I know it's a busy time of year, vacations and all that, but see, I've got to put some requirements on this. Otherwise, it doesn't mean much, you know? I think sometimes we don't ask enough. That's one of the problems of the American church culture. We try to make it so easy. You know, some things just aren't easy. They're not just going to be handed to you. It's like when I marry these couples, like Chris and Kinsey. Last night, it was an awesome time. We had a great time. We were in a tobacco barn down in Dearborn with no air conditioning. It was a lot of fun. But actually, it was really an awesome day because it was cloud cover and didn't rain down there at all. Didn't rain until we were done. So pretty cool. But I put my premarital counseling couples through the paces. You know, and just to give you an example of how I don't think things should always just be easy. Number one, I just don't marry anyone. You've got to be a member of Restoration. Not because I'm exclusive, but because I really want a relationship with the people that I'm going to do this significant part of their life for them. I'm not the wedding guy, right? I don't have the wedding guy on my truck. I don't have the decal. You know, I'll just marry you, whatever. No, I want a relationship with you. I want to walk with you even after the ceremony's done. I want to be able to be a part of your life. So that's why, and this is good. You all are going to hear this because if somebody asks you, oh, can I get married in your church? You'd say, no, unless you go there, right? And then the second thing I require is a series of premarital counseling sessions. And we get pretty real in those sessions. And I invest a lot in those couples because I want to give them the best possible opportunity to start life the right way. They're going through a huge transition. Anybody here that knows that if you're married, marriage is a transition. You need all the help you can get. Trust me, I can't divorce-proof any couple, but I want to give you the best possible launch point, right, so that you'll have the tools, at least some of them, to help you get through some of those sticky things. And then kind of the big surprise for these couples who want me to marry them. Oh, yeah, so we go to Restoration. Oh, yeah, we'll do the premarital counseling. I say, oh, and if you're living together or having sex, you have to stop. Man, pin drop, right? And I've lost couples right there. And, you know, I understand that's not a typical standard for our society. Well, my standard isn't society. My standard is what this book says. Now, I'm not saying that you're a bad person if you're doing that, right? What I'm saying is if you want the blessing of God on this marriage, which you're telling me that you do, you came to me, right? Okay, so you're telling me you want the blessing of God on this relationship. Then I'm telling you the way to get his blessing is to do it his way. And so sometimes the pushback is, well, we've already done it. So why stop now? And I'm like, well, glad you asked, because I know that's difficult. But I believe this. It's going to be a challenge. But if you've already enjoyed the blessing of intimacy outside of the covenant, how much more blessed will you be by denying yourself that relational connection, postponing that until after the ceremony to show God and your future mate, how much this means to you, that you would deny that part of your life. And I'm telling you, I've married people who were living together and or having, you know, lots of, I got to be careful what I say today because I've got youngsters in the room, but you know what I'm talking about. And it's just, oh, it's just my delight at the altar to see them in committed relationship, that nothing was more important to them, nothing, than doing it God's way. And I'm telling you, God honors that. So I do put some prerequisites in place of things that I feel like are important, that are significant. And this rite of passage, to me, is a significant thing. If I approach it this way, if we approach with seriousness the commitment that we're making, I think God honors that. And he kind of reciprocates and says, okay, I'm in on this. If you're serious about this, I'm with you. So that's why I put those requirements on the rite of passage. And if there's someone who just says, I can't do that, well, we'll be doing it again, you know, about this time next year. So there'll be time. But I also kind of want to say to those of you who are older than school age, that if you've never received your father's blessing, this is for you too. And before we take our students through, I'm going to invite the parents and all the adults present that morning. You can't give away something you've never received yourself. And I know personally the importance of understanding the identity. I can't even go into the story. I probably will in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, growing up without a dad, I didn't get that either. And it's powerful when you understand who you are and receive, humble yourself to receive a father's blessing. I saw a 70-year-old man walk the aisle, a man who was well-known in this community, who had a powerful ministry. He was, you know, not a pastor, but he was a lay leader in his church and well-known. Many of you would know his name if I said it right now. He has a son who's just gone on to do great things in ministry. He was able to raise sons and daughters who knew who they were in God, but he himself needed a physical, hands-on, spoken blessing over his life. And, oh, it's just, it doesn't get any better than that. So that's the invitation that'll be coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited for what God's going to do through that. I really hope that my desire would be that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, as a church, we're going to make this transition together. We're going to make it, of course, intentional for our sons and daughters, but for our congregation. That's why tonight's kind of important. I'm going to set the tone tonight. There are things I just don't feel like I want to share, you know, on a Sunday morning. We have guests, you know, and we really want you to know Jesus today. That's really what Sunday mornings are about for us. Tonight, it's kind of more of a family time. If you want to come back, I'd love to have you there. I feel like our church is going through an important transition, a change. You know, it's sort of like, as I thought about it while I was away, we kind of went through the transition where we left where we were, and we picked up and we moved, and we got to the hotel, and we kind of were on a journey. And now we have landed in a place. This is sort of our new home, but now it's time to establish ourselves in our new home. And that's what I think where the transition is for us. You know what really scares me, though? This transition doesn't scare me at all. What scares me is when we get to the place where we kind of feel like we're done. That's the scary point to me. I never want to be done. Don't let me say that I'm going to wear you down and we're going to move again, you know, once we get done here. I'm not saying that. But when you get to the point where the temptation is to feel settled, like you've arrived. And see, Christians, that happens to us. We feel like we've arrived and we've landed and we got it all together. Then we start looking down our noses at other people who aren't where we're at or whatever, and we start judging them. And see, that's where it gets dangerous. And may we never be there. You know, we're always in transition. The Apostle Paul says, I am chief among sinners, right? I mean, we've all got a long way to go. I never want to be at a place where I say, I can't grow. One thing I want to encourage you is, as especially we approach this rite of passage ceremony, I really want us as a church to think in a new way. And this is something that only God can flip the switch of our church and make this culture normal. I see it a lot when we have new visitors who come among us. See, I see things because of the glasses God's given me, right? Not these glasses, but the pastor glasses that I wear. I see things. And I see new people. We have a lot of new people coming to Restoration, which I'm really grateful for. You know, that's why we had this guest thing upstairs this morning, just to get to know people better. But what I see is new people that come in our door. Sometimes they'll be here for weeks. And we have our greeting time, right? Hey, everybody, now high five your neighbor. And, you know, what I see is those of us who know each other, we take that time to talk to our friends. And I see new people standing alone week after week, and it kills me. It tells me we haven't caught the culture yet. The culture is we aren't here for ourselves. We're here for those people who are looking for a family, looking for a home. So I'm just telling you that sort of as a, I'm going to stop short of saying it's a correction. It's an exhortation. I'm exhorting you. Think about that. When it's greeting time, think, not friend time. This is, I don't know that person, and I want to get to know them. You taking the first step. Think about that in terms of when we get to this rite of passage, we're going to have sons and daughters, young men and women, some of them maybe won't be school age, they might be older, who are in our church but don't have family who go here. Some of you might be asked to be a spiritual mom or dad to those individuals, and I'm going to ask you right now, would you consider that? Would you consider standing in with a single mom, men, and being a spiritual father for that son or daughter? I could tell you stories that would make you bawl. One story comes to mind. We were down at a church in Kansas City doing the rite of passage. One of the elements of that is, of course, the young person comes forward and they kneel down before their parents and receive a father's blessing from the dad. Well, sometimes there's no dad. So in this particular situation, the young lady came forward, and just to give you some backstory, she had had a baby out of wedlock in the youth group. So you can imagine, you know, a scandal. In most churches, that would be like, oh my, you know. Well, this church came around her, loved her. She adopted the baby out. During the rite of passage, this young lady comes forward, and her single mom had prepared something special, something I hadn't planned or told them to do. She had a basin of water and a towel, and she sat her daughter right there on the front row, and she had her sit down. She took off her shoes, and she washed her feet. Because this young lady, you got to know how she felt. She felt like the dirtiest, most unworthy, and the mother just spoke words of love and acceptance over her. She said, I don't see you as the daughter who made a mistake. I see you as a princess, the daughter of God. I'm so proud of you. And then she had a little tiara, right? She put it on her head. And I'm just thinking, oh my, this is good. And then I saw the men of that church as a group come around this young woman and commit to be spiritual fathers to her. And I said, okay, this is heaven for me right here. Doesn't get any better. See, that's how powerful this can be. We have sons and daughters just like that in our midst who don't have anyone who's ever approved of them, who've never told them that they have value. They're here today. They're here right now in this room. I hope you're aware of that. And we must, as a church, that's the cultural shift that has to happen if we really want to make an impact on this city and on this world. To me, that's the transition that Jesus is inviting our church into. It's not about an event on August 16th. It's about a change of mind, a change of heart for us as a congregation. Let me go back to what I read in the beginning. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. as we are changed into his glorious image. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a change. I'm wide open. I say, bring it on, Lord. I don't want church as usual. I'm not saying we're better than anybody else in St. Joe, but I want us to be different, the way God has called us to be different, to be effective. I read this week, a man said, if you're going to reach people no one else is reaching, you're going to have to do things no one else is doing. And I'm just telling you, I don't see many churches doing this piece well. And I want to do it well for the sake of my sons and my daughters. I'm talking about you all. We're all sons and daughters. We're all looking for home. We all need to be changed from glory to glory, right? That's what the word says. And I am signing up for the process. If you are too, why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? You know, part of coming to Christ is just this process of having that veil removed. See, it's like Moses and the people of Israel, they knew God sort of legally, right? By contract. Well, today, God invites us to know him by covenant. When the Father sent Jesus, it was so that that old way could be done away with. It says that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, that veil that was in the temple that kept the people separate from where the presence of God dwelt in the temple was torn in two. It was like God says, nothing's going to keep me from you. There's nothing stopping us now. But you have to make the step into a relationship with him. Today, my prayer is that if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never, you've maybe known him legally, right? Known about him, but you've had that veil. You've had that, even if it's a thin, you can see, kind of see through. You can kind of sort of see. But today, it's like, I just feel God's heart is desperate to know us face to face. I think if we're willing to take that step, then the transition can happen. No matter what level you're at, no matter where you're at in life. So I'd like to pray for you this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Just have a real strong sense, Lord, that we are walking steps that have been ordered, ordained by you. Individually, as a church, Lord, I sense your desperation for this city. Lord, you want to know this city face to face. No separation. God, you see the heartache in our city. You see the results, the fruit. The problem isn't the murders and the bad stuff. The problem is we don't know you. Those other things are symptoms. We want to get back to the heart of the matter. God, you are desperate for sons and daughters to return home. You're desperate for a family for them to come to, a home to be established where people can know and be known. They can be on a journey. They can be imperfect. It's okay. We can even have differences of opinions. Opinions don't matter. What matters is, Lord, that we are stretching forward on this journey. We're willing. We're open to being changed. This transition, Lord, we welcome it. We embrace it. We say, even if it means we have to fall to the ground and die, let it be so. I feel in some ways that as a church that's happened to us. We've had to embrace the change. We've fallen to the ground and we've died to some things because we needed to. Because you've required it if we were going to go to the next step. And Lord, I believe that now we're beginning to see out of that soil the little green shoots rising to the ground. And I believe this morning, Holy Spirit, you desire to reign on barren ground. Lord, there are some here today that have never taken that scary step. Maybe they've had preconceived ideas of what that would mean or what that would look like. And today you just want to wipe all that away. You want to take away the veil. Say, it's just me and you now. I'm your Father. No one loves you more than I do. Today, if you need to hear that voice of the Father who says nothing but, I love you and I made you and I have good plans for you. If
you need to hear that voice today, would you just raise your hand up, up and down real quick? I just want to see who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? For the rest of us, I just tell you, you're fixing to go on a journey here that's going to be wow. Your heart is going to be touched. And I kind of want to just caution you as your brother and friend, if your heart isn't touched, then I think that you maybe should pray. Say, God, do something in me that makes me come alive because I'm not feeling that. Lord, I pray for my sister today. Pray for anyone else who has said, I need to hear that voice. I need to hear the voice of my Father. Lord, I know today that you're speaking to many. I know you're speaking to the corporate heart of this church. We open ourselves up today, God. We say, Father, may it be done unto us according to your word. We receive that word that will change, the word that will come and even says will divide, it will separate. It will begin to separate the wheat and the chaff and the flesh and the bone, Lord. It's like a fine blade, a surgeon's scalpel. It could hurt. And yet, Lord, your purpose is never to hurt, but to heal. But sometimes we have to call things as they are. We've been walking in a way that is our own way, in a way that even our own conscience knows is displeasing. Today, Lord, give us the courage and the boldness to take the first step. You know, just to lift your foot and take one step. And when you do that, God, your heart, your Father's heart is to run to us. I see you running full speed. You're lifting sons and daughters high in your arms. You're twirling around with them today. Your face is full on smile, tears of joy. This one who is far away has now come home. And we celebrate with you today, God, and with the hosts of heaven, rejoicing for the ones who have come home. May there be a flood of those, God, who will follow our lead as we make a path for you to move in this city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.